My role in my pastor's life is not for him to be solely focused on how he can activate me, because we mix things in society now where it's like, oh yeah, my pastor's kind of like my mentor. He's like my coach. Yeah, kind of like, but not that. A pastor is actually meant, especially a lead pastor, is meant to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Actually, my primary role is not to get from him, is actually to interpret the vision God's given him and execute on that.
Welcome to the Leading Second podcast, a space to help church leaders thrive in the second chair. The Leading Second podcast releases every Thursday morning, so hit subscribe and share this episode with your team. Let's jump into another episode for all of us who lead from the middle. Welcome to the Leading Second podcast. It is our absolute honor to have you in this space with us today. Hey, if you lead from the middle in any capacity, Leading Second is for you. If you find this episode helpful, I just want to encourage you to visit leadingsecond.com/podcast and download the episode guide we've created for today's episode. Feel free to use this with your team if you feel that it would be valuable to you. We would absolutely love it if you would help us to make some noise about the podcast by sharing it with your team or posting this episode on social media or leaving ratings or reviews. It all helps share the message and move the ministry forward. We have an incredible guest for you today, so let's jump into the episode.
Vance, welcome back to the Leading Second podcast. I'm so glad you're here.
Brandon, such a privilege. I love to be a returning guest on family now.
Well, that's the highest compliment, right? Is the invite back.
Exactly. That's right.
Hey, we love and respect you in what you do in ministry all around. You have a brilliant business that you run that serves churches, and you're also a key part of a church. Why don't you, for any who don't know you or didn't meet you last time you were on the podcast, why don't you give us just a little bit of background on what you do in ministry?
Yeah, I would love to. So Vance Rausch, I currently serve as executive pastor at a church called Vive Church right in the heart of the Silicon Valley, actually in our building right now in Mountain View, California. I can see Google's headquarters from across the street. And so we have been building this church for the last 12 years, started with 7 people in the living room. For the first 10 years, bump in and bump out,
yep.
You know, one coffee meeting, one big dinner at a time,
yep.
Building the local church, one baptism at a time. And now we are sitting in our building, a 2,000 seat worship experience auditorium, and thousands of people, praise God, coming to Jesus here in what we believe is the heart of innovation for the world in this time and space that we get to live in. Such a privilege. Alongside that, as you mentioned, I run a company that serves the big body of Christ as well, the local church called Overflow. It's a software company, technology company. We believe we're an innovation company for the local church. Primarily, we help churches with our system of generosity. Many churches have a spirit of generosity, but they don't yet have a system of generosity that's paired with that. And so it's a generosity platform, giving platform that helps increase generosity in churches. So that's a little bit about me.
Brilliant. And our audience can go check out our previous conversation with you. I loved hearing how you got involved. I want to say it was like over Thai food or something. I mean,
you got
hoodwinked into a church plant.
No. Twitter and Thai food. That's what it was.
Okay.
That is the holy combination, the holy dove combination of what happened.
That sounds like Silicon Valley if I've ever heard of something. So that's
it is.
That's amazing. So today you're joining us for one of the episodes I'm so excited about this year. We're going inside the second chair. We are going BTS on great leaders' lives, and I'm calling you a great leader. You know, you're humble, but I'm calling you. I respect you so much, and I just love to hear how intentional. Maybe let's use that word, intentional leaders. You know, approach their day, ministry dynamic. So help us and just no answer is perfect, but tell us how you navigate some of these things. This is my personal research project this year. How about that? To really study the second chair. Before we do that, though, let's set this up a little bit. How long total have you been in ministry, you and your wife?
Yeah, just a little over 12 years. And so I met my wife in a church. She was a small group leader there. First time I decided to go back to church for myself, I meet my now wife of 12 years, right? That's how much God loves me. At a church called the City Church at the time, now called Church Home, up in Seattle. Mm. And from there, when we got married, moved to the Silicon Valley and met our pastors, pretty much from the first meeting, they called us into ministry. That was 12 years ago. So a little over 12 years ago, we've been in ministry.
Amazing. What's your current ministry role at Vive?
Yeah, so as executive pastor, I oversee specifically kind of the business and finance side of the church. I know that executive pastor can mean different things at different churches, but that's what it means at Vive. Because I run a company and I'm bivocational, that's not a day-to-day role for me. I've had a day-to-day role in the church in different seasons, really when we were scaling multiple locations in a very consolidated amount of time. But my role is a little bit more governance now. So I'm on the board. I'm treasurer on the board. I preach occasionally and really coming alongside our pastors to help carry and execute on the vision.
Great. And finally, I need help settling an age-old debate that I encounter across the country in my travels, and that is, are you team In-N-Out or team Whataburger? If you're going to a fast food restaurant tomorrow, and
you're asking a Cali guy, man. Come on, we got to go In-N-Out.
Thank you.
We got to go In-N-Out.
This is my personal vendetta, just to shove it in every Texan's face this year.
I don't even know what a Whataburger is. What is that? What is this place?
It's trash.
I would say, you know what rivals though? I will say what rivals as a Californian, just in terms of quality, Shake Shack. I'm down for some Shake Shack.
I'm down with it. I'm down with it. Absolutely. I am just preached at. I love Texas. I feel like I'm in Texas all the time. I am constantly like told it's the greatest thing on earth. And I'm just standing up for us that know better, us that know the truth, to those that are deceived. So
does Whataburger have John 3:16 on the bottom of their cups?
Oh, I highly doubt it.
Come on, somebody.
I highly doubt it.
Let's go. This is leading second.
All we need to know. All we need to know right there. Okay, so inside the second chair, let's go rapid fire style. I have some questions for you. And my first is this. What's the first thing you do each morning when you wake up?
Okay, the first thing that I do is I hydrate. That is like really, really important. H2O, I'm telling you right now, you got to get liquids in you. I hydrate. I try to drink as much water as humanly possible. And then I go straight for the Breville. I go straight for the espresso shot. I know you thought I opened up the Bible. I know you thought that I even said a prayer. None of that would have any power without a double espresso, Italian style, dark roast.
Amen.
From the Breville. And so then I will start. I'm on this thing right now in 2024, the year of more for me, to actually read the Bible in a year. I've never actually really done this before. I'm more of like that meditate on a verse for a whole week type of guy. But I'm going for it, and it's been a great discipline. So that's a little bit about the first components of my morning routine.
Do you ever do salt water? Have you ever tried that?
No. Tell me about that. What do you
mean
by that?
I need a sponsorship if I'm going to talk about it. But I am absolutely addicted to these salt water packets that we have. You know, they're flavored, no sugar, the ones that we use anyways. I think it's the key to jet lag, personally. I think it's the key to energy in the morning. So I'll send you a box.
Big statement. Big statement.
I sponsor me, Element. I need a sponsorship from leading second. No, I think I'm the same thing. First thing I do besides walking the stupid dogs and feeding them is hydrate with salt water. Okay, now everybody knows how I really feel. I try to be like, you know, the great ministry dad on social or something, but in reality, I can't stand our dogs in the morning. So there you go. There's the real truth.
I'm going to like totally marginalize half of your audience. They're not going to like me. They're going to turn it off after this. We gave our dog away to our parents.
Oh, no.
I have four kids, Brandon.
You have four.
Like,
yeah.
It was a lot. And okay, we were so generous that we wanted to gift.
Whatever. That's called ministry my friend.
But our dog has a great life now. Great life in the ranch with our parents. So it's good.
Okay. What is the best rhythm or habit you have in your life right now?
Whew. The best one would be, we started the year actually as a church with a thing we call Vibe Run Club. And We are running the globe together. Over 20,000 miles is the circumference of the globe. And collectively, over a two-month period, everybody, if they run 2 miles a day, we will effectively run the globe. Some people are sloughing, Brandon. Some people haven't even started. So my two-a-day has gone up to like five a day.
Yeah, you're going to have to pick up the slack.
We got to pick up the slackers. And so we are definitely putting a holy conviction on those that are not honoring the Lord with their commitment. Their yes was not their yes. They should have just made their no. But, you know, besides that, leaders lead and we step up. And so I've been running pretty much every day in 2024. It's probably the best rhythm that I have right now. Running for me, obviously, you know, it's probably good physically, but mentally for me, running just provides so much clarity, those endorphins, makes me a better father, a better thinker, a better leader. So it's probably the best rhythm I have right now.
Very good. Very good. I love that.
Hey, there is a great resource that we have available for you. A space online for leadership development called Leading Second Plus. These are online courses to help church leaders thrive in the second chair. There's a tension when you're leading from the middle, and that's why we've created this space for leaders just like you who want to get it right for their pastor and develop their skills and wisdom so that they know they are winning in their role. You'll be able to get new content regularly, anytime, anywhere from world-class leaders, and you'll get exclusive second chair leadership development content from our library. We're happy to offer a 7-day free trial on us. So if you'd like to find out more, you can go to leadingsecond.com to take your new step in leadership development.
Okay, what is a key verse or a wisdom thought? So I'm kind of looking for either. That you'd want to share with a leader to help them navigate life under authority. Of course, the second chair leader is intimately acquainted with life under authority. What's your favorite go-to thought or verse on life under authority?
Yeah, it's actually something God has been speaking to me recently. So it's a little bit of fresh bread. I'm still working it out. But ultimately, I've been in Acts 2 a little bit. Specifically, you know, the day of Pentecost, how the Holy Spirit entered the upper room. Okay. Because if you think about that, you could just think about, I've been to several business events already, networking rooms, right? I don't know if an introvert second leader chair is listening to this triggered right now. Let me help you, right? Networking rooms. Let me just give you some pro tips. The way that people enter and engage a room, oftentimes is very specific to their personality or their proclivity, right? And there's a lot of different ways that people engage in a room, right? You have the shoulder looker over.
Yep.
You know, those people where you're engaging with them and all of a sudden you realize 2 seconds in, you're just in the way of the person they really want to meet.
The worst. Right? The worst.
The worst. The worst. And then you have the, I forgot your namer. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And with the I forgot your namer, it's like you meet them for the fifth time. The fourth time, you told them your whole life story and they greet you with the, hey, man of God. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, you forgot my name. That's fine. And then it's
you're like giving me hives. Like you're absolutely triggering me right now, just so you know.
And then it's like the low-key flexor, right? That loves to talk about their day and how their assistant forgot to upgrade them on the flight. and their driver was late. And I was like, dude, like I was literally slow with Uber today as well. It's like, there's all these different ways that people engage in a room. There's all these different ways that people enter a room. Are you entering standing straight, which exudes confidence? Yeah. Are you entering walking slow, which invites invitation for somebody to approach you? Are you entering with a smile because it invites warmth, right? And I've been stuck on this because the Bible in Acts 2 gives us a descriptor about how the Holy Spirit entered the room on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says he entered like a mighty rushing wind. Wow. The Holy Spirit in this instant specifically entered in a very specific way to produce a very specific thing, right? He came in mighty. He came in rushing, and he came in like a wind translated into ruach, right? The Spirit of God is like breath, is like wind, is ruach, to bring energy, vitality. Why was he rushing? Because the disciples were waiting, but he wanted to get them to work, right? We're done waiting. I'm filling you in the upper room to get you out of the upper room and to start making a difference. And so when I think about second chair leaders, when I think about leading second, it's incumbent on us specifically to understand how we're entering and engaging rooms. We really got to understand, okay, cool. Am I coming in here as the top leader in the room? And I really got to control the atmosphere, and I really got to lead strong, and I really got to set an example and set a model? Or am I coming in alongside maybe my lead pastor, or am I coming in alongside maybe a guest that we're coming in, and I'm engaging differently? I'm not less than, I'm not a different person, but I'm engaging contextual to what the room is trying to produce. If I know I'm coming in alongside my pastor and we're addressing kingdom builders, I'm coming in as an ally. I'm coming, and here's the thing. A lot of people think that, oh, okay, I'm second chair, so I'm meant to be an echo. That's partly true, but echoes deteriorate over time. That's literally the definition of echo. No, I'm not just an echo. I'm an amplification.
Wow.
So I take what's being said. Beautiful. And I amplify it by contextualizing it, by making it personal to me so that now it can be more potent to others. Because if they can see how I translate how my pastor is speaking into words that make it personal to my life, they can then see that model and do it for themselves. I become amplification now, not a diluted echo.
I love what you're saying here. Am I entering the room in charge and leading? Am I entering it maybe to assist my pastor in that moment? Where my mind went was, you know, at church or at like a conference that we're hosting, my pastors will ask our staff, like one of the things we've asked for years is see yourself as a host. Everyone is hosting the room. Everyone is hosting. So when you meet someone, you're the owner, you're the host. That's a very, very big DNA piece for us. And so I'll walk up to somebody and I'll own the conversation. I'll own it as if my pastor was there. I want them to feel all the warmth and hospitality that my pastors would want to give. What happens occasionally is my pastor will walk up and start talking to that same person that I'm already talking with. And in that moment, I've noticed I actually have to move aside a bit. I'm still going to stay right there, but I move aside because now he actually needs a moment to engage with that person. And this is maybe a little more rare moment for them to engage. So now my posture immediately goes, I step aside, but I stay close. I facilitate conversation between them. I'm no longer the host here. I'm the facilitator. I love that you just said that because I think we have to know how to interact with our pastors well. And he needs 100%. Something different from me in those two moments. Is that kind of what you're saying?
That's 100% what I'm saying, right? And it's understanding those social dynamics, right? The Holy Spirit totally moves in power, but he also moves in practical.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Can you discern the moment? Do you know how to honor that moment well? Here's another thing, right? I've seen it where you'll have a campus pastor up and they're preaching that Sunday. They're preaching on main stage. Maybe it's even a broadcast Sunday and they're preaching. And I've also seen it where it's not owned. And it's always like every statement that I'm saying, I'm vibe checking it with the lead pastor because I'm insecure. It's like, no, you were commissioned by our lead pastor to own that moment and to usher in the word of God for the congregation. You don't need to fact check every statement that you make. No, preach with confidence. We can do a debrief after, but like, you're meant to lead, right? And so It's just understanding what those moments are. I love your example because that's an example that happens every Sunday. So totally. It's beautiful.
Okay, so I have another question for you. And I need to set this one up. What do you hope your pastor would say about you if they were assessing you? Mm. Now, my setup is never. In the second chair, do we want to enter into people-pleasing? Or man-pleasing. Mm-hmm. That's not the point of this question. We are God-pleasers, first and foremost, and we do that. We please God and honor God by honoring the authority he's placed over us. And so this isn't a question about trying to elicit a certain response or approval, need for approval, from, my pastor. But rather, if your pastor were to assess how you're doing, what would you want your pastor to say about you if he were to talk about what you contribute to your team?
Yeah. For me specifically, this is a brilliant question. I also think it's a personal question based on people's proclivities and personalities and what they bring to the table in that second chair. For me, how I hear this and what's important to me is if my pastor were to describe me as a person in his world that provides more value than I take.
Wow.
That would be important for me. It's a principle of mine in every single situation, whether it's for my pastor or for others, right? Up, down, all around. I want to provide more value than I take. It's the whole company I started, a generosity company. Mm. This idea that the world of the generous gets larger and larger. And I want to be a value add to people's lives. I think it's incumbent specifically on second chair leaders to understand that for lead pastors especially, 98% of people are looking to take. And here's my thing. My role in my pastor's life, and we've been talking about this in different settings before, is not for him to be solely focused on how he can activate me. Right.
My gosh,
or how so he can unlock me. Praise God if that happens. When that happens, it has happened. Praise God. But that's not his whole role in life, right? And I think sometimes, because we mix things in society now where it's like, oh yeah, my pastor's kind of like my mentor. He's like my coach. Yeah, kind of like,
yeah,
but not that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so he's not solely focused. No. A pastor is actually meant, especially a lead pastor, is meant to equip the saints.
That's right.
For the work of the ministry. So especially as a right hand or part of the squad, part of the team, actually my primary role is not to get from him, is actually to interpret the vision God's given him and execute on that.
Yep.
Right? I'm a problem solver. I'm a value adder. And that's so good. That's kind of what I would want.
So good. So good. Okay. Next question. And this question is about, sometimes our no's are as important as our yeses. If you could stop doing something today or hand it off to somebody else, what would that be? What would you want to get off of your plate today?
I would say that in the area of business specifically, we need a COO type person, right?
Yep.
What I've learned is that God has gifted me with certain superpowers, right? Storytelling, which in business that leads to primarily being focused on things like sales and business development,
right,
and partnerships and evangelizing the company and things like that. And so as much as certain operational things take me away from being able to spend a disproportionate time on where I feel God has created me, you know, that's difficult. In saying that, I caveat that with there's a season for everything, right?
Yep.
Ecclesiastes. And so I also rage against this notion that, oh, you know, I don't want to do it because I'm weak in that area. I actually think, like a good basketball player, you're not allowed to say, well, I don't want to do a left-handed layup because I just am not left-hand dominant. It's like, no, you work on your left-handed layup, right? You're predominantly wanting to shoot with your right hand, but it doesn't give you an excuse to say, I'm not good at admin. No, no, no. You're just trying to tell me you want to hire an admin. That's not okay. You got to learn how to be good enough at admin.
True. It's true. And there, I even think about my own work, and I've been able over the course of years, as many have been able to hone, you know, what's on the schedule, what's not. But there's, I think every single one of us still have things every day where,
yeah,
it's operating out of my secondary strengths. This isn't my best.
Yeah.
This is my left-hand shot right now, but it is still needed from me today.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. I love it. Okay. When you have a disagreement or a difference of opinion with a leader or a team member, kind of thinking of your church team here, what mm-hmm. do you tell yourself? This is my question. What do you tell yourself to keep alignment while you're working through the disagreement? Great teams have disagreements. Great teams don't always see things eye to eye. It's part of a team's brilliance is its ability to do that. So what are you telling yourself in the tense moments to keep alignment?
To keep alignment, what I'm telling myself is the conclusion to this conversation, and it might be a multi-day conversation, cannot end in, okay, then we just agree to disagree.
Totally.
Agreeing to disagree, in my opinion, is the start of division.
You're not solving anything.
And so, yeah. Not solving anything. And so, what I'm telling myself is, do I have the patience to be able to tarry in this disagreement to come to a higher level of agreement? Tactically, what does that tarrying look like? Tactically, what it looks like is active listening,
yep.
Right? Oftentimes, what disagreement is rooted in is that person is not heard, right? And as long as that person can feel like they're heard, then they'll be 10x more receptive to maybe the correction or the conversation that you're going to bring.
Yep.
And so it's a lot of active listening skills. Man, my wife would tell you, I'm working on it. So what I heard you saying is X, Y, Z. And understanding the feeling and emotions attached to it, that person being seen and heard allows us to break through standstills to solutions, right? So that's how we do it. That's how I do it.
Very good. What are you doing right now to prepare yourself for tomorrow?
I'm like a big fan of Google Calendar. I make myself calendar events for tasks that I need to do. I move it around if I didn't get to it. And so something that I do on a daily basis is I review my calendar. I'm a pretty planned person. And I'm always anticipating those things that are needed for the next day. Not from a place of anxiousness, but, you know, hopefully to get me into a place of anticipation.
Yep.
Like, okay, I'm excited about it now because I'm prepped for it.
Yep. I think we can lie to ourselves on what we're going to get done if it doesn't show up on the calendar. Hello.
Exactly.
If you were to look back on a day and call it a success, what was the most important thing you did that day?
The days that are most successful for me, as like what I recall when I hear that, is if I blessed a loved one. Right. If I showed up for my daughter's basketball game that I coached, if I was present, you know, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, to a milestone celebration with my pastors, if I was there, you know, coming alongside my wife, going through and overcoming an obstacle. Anytime that I'm a part of helping solve or come alongside somebody's victories or struggles, big success. If that was the only thing I did that day, big success.
Great. I've loved this today, and I got one more for you. Maybe it's a big one, but I'd love to hear what you have to say. How would you define success in leading from the second chair? Like, what does successful second chair leadership look like to you?
Successful second chair leadership looks like my pastors being able to genuinely say, no gas, no fluff, genuinely say, Vance and Kim, my wife, Vance and Kim got our back. Vance and Kim, we don't have to worry. We're in this for life. And it's really honestly removes from anything that we even do. And we do a lot.
Yeah.
We want to do a lot. It's like what fulfills us. But it's a spirit. And if they can catch the spirit that, man, Vance and Kim, we don't got to worry about them. They got our back. They're in this for life with us because we made a covenant relationship together. That is super successful with the privileged position that we have as L2s.
You know, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful you had that Thai meal that day because you're so sharp and you think so brilliantly on the second chair. Thank you for all you do for your church and all you do for the body of Christ. We're really grateful for you, my friend. Thank you for adding some value in this space today.
Thank you. Love you guys.
It is our honor to serve churches and leaders across the globe. We equip ministry leaders with the coaching, events, and resources needed to embrace their calling, get it right with their pastor, and lead in an uncommon way. Visit our website, leadingsecond.com, to learn how we can come alongside you as you lead from the middle. From the second chair, for the second chair.